Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Green Party presidential candidate Hallie Hawkins. And Hallie is here to talk about the opening on the Supreme Court. So I know Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but her husband was ill for quite a while. So it didn't come as much of a shock to you, did it?
No. I mean, the actual day, yeah. But we knew sooner rather than later it was probably going to happen.
Did you think it would happen before the election?
If you'd asked me, I'd have said no. You know, she's pretty good. She's pretty tough. She was very active right up to the end, so...
Right.
I didn't think it would come this soon.
So what does the vacant seat on the Supreme Court mean for this coming election?
It's become one of the central issues, although I think the Democrats are using it to scare people into voting for them. And it's not the only issue on the table. And to make that your sole criteria for voting means you're ignoring a whole lot of other issues. And even if Trump does ram through a new appointee, we have other remedies. But before we even get to that, I mean, the Democrats got to play hardball. McConnell has been doing that. You know, they denied their Obama's appointment, Merrick Garland, even a hearing for a year before the last presidential election. And now he wants to ram it through as fast as possible before this election or before the next government, you know, next president and Congress takes office. So they have a number of things they can do. They can use all kinds of parliamentary maneuvers to slow things down, filibusters. They can require that every piece of legislation be read out loud. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, sort of name and post office kind of legislation that they pass by unanimous consent. Every time a vote comes up, the senators can say, I want a roll call. And the real, you know, thing they should do is impeach Trump and Barr. I mean, Trump now, in addition to all his other crimes, which they mostly have let go to the side when they impeached him last time, he's trying to rig the election. I mean, he said as much. He said, I want another Supreme Court justice because I'm going to take the election to the Supreme Court and try to steal the election like they did with Bush v. Gore back in 2000. So, he's got all these crimes, openly telling law enforcement to violate the law, self-enrichment, and all the unlawful actions he's taken to hurt workers, consumers, and the environment. That's how you build public support for impeaching this guy. And the Democrats have had 4 years to do that. They haven't done it. And then there's Attorney General Barr, who subverted the Mueller investigation and report, who has been unlawfully seeking sentence reductions or acquittals for convicted felons who are Trump cronies. He's been obstructing congressional investigations, and he's been violating the First and Fourth Amendment rights of citizens engaged in nonviolent demonstrations, most notably, you know, right there in front of the White House, when they cleared, you know, the streets with tear gas and a big show of force so Trump could go stand with a Bible in front of a church. I mean, these are all impeachable offenses. So, I mean, he should be impeached anyway, but impeachment takes precedent over other business in the Senate. So there are a lot of things the Democrats could do to hold this off until there's an election and a new government takes office. But, you know, all they're saying is, you know, vote for Biden. But, you know, Biden, if Trump is able and McConnell are able to put through the new Supreme Justice of who they want, you know, Biden getting elected is not going to stop that. It's got to be stopped before we get to that. So, you know, there's a lot of things can be done. I don't know if the Democrats are really willing to do that. They're kind of using this as a talking point in the election, rather than, you know, really fighting McConnell and Trump.
So, you know, for all of the judges that were voted upon over the last 3 years, the Democrats kind of rolled over and played dead and allowed to be nominated all of the judges that the Republicans wanted, right?
Well, they didn't have the votes. I mean, they did question Gorsuch and what's the last guy's name?
Kavanaugh.
I don't know if they got any Democratic votes, but you know, in that case, you know, they really didn't have the power, and the Republicans did. But you know, you go back to when Joe Biden was chair of the Judiciary Committee in the late 80s and 90s. I mean, he shepherded through, most infamously, Clarence Thomas, but also Scalia and Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a period when the Democrats had a majority. Yeah, in all three cases, the Democrats had a majority. So, you know, are the Democrats going to save us from these reactionary Supreme Court justices? And even the Democratic appointees, while they're better on civil rights, abortion rights, and so forth, they've been terrible on corporate power. I mean, we've already lost the court across the board. All the Democratic and Republican appointees are very pro-corporate, making it very difficult for Democratic regulation of corporate behavior. And so, you know, to say the Democrats are going to save us from a conservative Supreme Court, this court, even the Democrats, would have been on the right of the Warren Court for sure. And this court is way to the right of courts. And you have to go back to the 1920s to find a court that's so unanimously pro-corporate.
I'm talking about federal judges. The Democrats approved a lot of them, right? Correct?
Yeah, I don't know the voting records. I haven't, you know, looked at all the lower court, federal court appointments.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I just haven't seen the votes. I don't know if it's been strictly partisan. You're probably right. A lot of them have been appointed with Democratic votes. And
right.
It's only the really unqualified ones. I mean, I remember some reporting on that, you know, some people that had never been in court or being appointed to the federal bench. I mean, that's Trump for you. The best people, quote
mm-hmm.
unquote.
So, you know, when you put the news on and you hear what's going on, the Democrats are gearing for a fight even before they know who the nominee is going to be. Is it like jumping the gun?
No, I don't think so. We know that the nominee will be somebody that the Heritage Foundation and the Federal Society have already pre-approved. You know, Trump has no idea what these people stand for. He's pandering to his base, and he'll do what they say. So, yeah, we can be pretty sure it's going to be a very reactionary member of the bench. So I think the question is how are we going to fight back, or how are they going to fight back? Because the Democrats have the power in the Senate to, you know, delay the process until after the election and a new government is seated, a new president and a new Congress.
Do you think the Supreme Court is going to play a crucial role in the outcome of the election?
Well, they shouldn't. Of course, that's Trump's game plan. He's already said it. He can't keep a secret. As soon as it comes into his head, it's out his mouth. And that's
mm-hmm.
he said that. So, you know, I think we have to, we being Greens, progressives, we need to make sure they count every vote, because that starts November 4th, because they're mail-in ballots. And what Trump's going to do, he said he's going to do, is say, stop the count right now. Steve Bannon was saying that. Stop the count right now as soon as they count the votes cast on voting machines on November 3rd. And they're going to call the mail-in ballots, which Democrats have been asking for in much greater numbers, to not count those. and Trump saying there that's how they're rigging the election, which is nonsense. He votes by absentee ballot. But that's the game they're going to play. And so we got to be ready to go into the streets and to our boards of election, you know, where this becomes an issue, and make sure every vote is counted.
How ugly do you think this can get?
It can get deadly. You know, these ragtag white racist vigilantes are just looking for an excuse. We've already seen down in Virginia, you know, Trump supporters coming out to try to intimidate early voters. They had an early voting date down there in Virginia. And, you know, the right has said, we're going to mobilize on election day. So they could be around polling places and intimidating voters, particularly immigrants, who, you know, they're afraid they may be qualified to vote, but there may be members of their families without documents, and they don't want to get dragged into, you know, the system and have that found out. So they have a right to vote, but they won't use it because they're afraid it could affect the status of members of their family. So that's one example of how people might be intimidated. And, I was finished.
Do you think that this was a gift handed to Trump because of COVID? And he's using that as an excuse that, you know, a lot of people will be staying home. Therefore, if they vote by mail, their votes are not going to be counted. During the pandemic, wouldn't you think that the wise thing might be for people with a condition to vote by mail? What do you think? Pre-existing condition to vote by mail. That would be the smart thing to do, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, my campaign's been calling for universal mail-in ballot option since the pandemic began. And, of course, Trump and his minions have been opposing that. And they've been trying to undermine that by, you know, destroying the post office. I mean, it's real clear what they're trying to do. They say the other side's rigging the election when they're trying to rig the election. So, yeah, there should have been a universal mail-in ballot option. It's too late now. The funding should have come in the spring for the states to be able to do that. And they should have, you know, stopped much sooner DeJoy, the guy that Trump made postmaster general. Yeah, I mean, that's a setup to make it so less mail-in ballots will be back in time and counted. And so it's real clear what the Trump people are trying to do.
Now, you know, when you put TV on, there's a lot of scare tactics. What do you think of the reports that said that, you know, whether Trump, you know, if he loses, he might not gracefully get off the stage. But if he does win, they're talking about him usurping power and going for not 8 years, but at least 12 years. Do you think that's a scare tactic?
Kind of jokes about that. He might like to do that, but I don't think the American people are going to let that happen. That's too far. You know, they still want elections, regular elections, term limits for president. There's no indication that, you know, enough people support Trump that much. I mean, he has a cult following, no doubt. People aren't looking at evidence, reality. They're just looking at Trump as, you know, you got these crazy QAnon people that think he's the only thing standing between them and the deep state. And, you know, that's just a fantasy. So there's some people that believe that, but I don't think it's a definite minority. And I just don't think the American people are going to stand for that. Now, the only way I think Trump can get reelected at this point is, you know, by these rigging the election, by making sure mail-in ballots are not counted. You look at the polls since the spring, have been steadily consistent. Biden's ahead 7-8 points in the national polls. He's ahead in the old battleground states. Now the new battleground states are states that used to be solidly Republican, like Georgia, Arizona, Texas. And those polls have been pretty steady. And, you know, people say, well, the polls aren't right like 2016. Actually, they were pretty good in 2016. Certainly the national prediction, because Clinton won by 3 million votes. And in the battleground states, where it was close, Trump snuck through. And some things happened, like Comey saying Clinton's emails were under investigation again 10 days before the election. You know, that moved, you know, the polls a couple points in those key states. But, you know, you move them a couple points in this election, it's still not going to get Trump through. So, yeah, they're trying to scare the hell out of people when it looks like a landslide for Biden. You know, the Real Clear Politics electoral map based on the polls is 353 for Biden, or maybe 355, and 185 for Trump. I mean, Trump's going to get crushed if the vote is counted. I mean, that's what the polls say, and they've been pretty consistent. They've been very consistent since Biden became the presumptive Democratic nominee. So I don't think Trump can get away with, you know, a coup. Just don't see it. The people are not with that. But that doesn't mean the right wing, the armed right wing, can't cause a lot of trouble and kill some people. I mean, they are looking for an excuse, and that's a real danger.
The debates are upon us. Have you been invited to any of them?
Invited to any of what?
The debates.
Oh, no, of course not. They're sponsored by the Commission on Presidential Debates, which sounds like a government agency, but in fact is a private organization controlled by the Democrats and Republicans. It was set up to keep everybody else out, and they just muscled aside the legal women voters who had been hosting presidential debates until, well, it was 1988 when Dukakis and Bush started making demands on the League of Women Voters as to how the debate would go, and the League said, no, we're conducting the debate, not you. So they just muscled aside the League of Women Voters and set up this commission. And it's ridiculous. I mean, what country has the two governing parties administering their elections and their debates? I mean, that's a problem in our boards of election, our courts. It's all partisan, and behind the scenes, these partisan hacks are trying to game the system. You know, it's they don't do that in Europe or the democracies in the Pacific Rim or Asia or Latin America or Africa. You have an independent agency administering elections. Here we got the two governing parties administering elections, which is a problem for us in the Green Party because they find ways to kick us off the ballot.
So what are you going to do to compensate for the fact that you're not going to be on the debate stage?
Well, I'm going to Cleveland. I'll be outside, available to the media to talk about why I should have been included in the debates and what the issues in the campaign are. And we'll see if they take advantage of the fact that I'm available right there. And we'll be part of a protest. We'll be joining with the Libertarians, who are also excluded, and they're on every ballot in the country. And we're on enough ballots to win the Electoral College. We're on 31 states. So, and we're a write-in in the other states. Most of the other states, there are a couple states that don't count write-ins, Nevada and South Dakota. So in most states, almost all states, people will be able to vote for us. So, just by that criterion, we should be in the debate.
Right.
And if you use that criterion, it would be a four-way debate instead of a two-way debate.
So would you put money on, if you do protest in front of the studio or theater, wherever it's going to be, would you put money on MSNBC, CNN, or Fox will cover you and listen to what you have to say?
Well, if I was going to make a bet, no. I would say they're going to continue to exclude me. But I'm going to give them the opportunity and speak out about in other forums where I have the opportunity about why we should be included in the debate. I mean, we're talking about life or death issues, the climate meltdown, the inequality crisis, which has working class life expectancies in decline, which means we need an economic bill of rights to end poverty and economic despair. And this new nuclear arms race that has the bulletin of the atomic scientists moving their doomsday clock the closest it's ever been to midnight. And both Trump and Biden, both Democrats and Republicans, are committed to the nuclear modernization program, which has triggered this new nuclear arms race. These are issues that deserve debate, and the debate between Biden and Trump has been vacuous. It's not been about policy. It's been about personality, which isn't irrelevant, but, you know, okay, so you get a better personality in there. What are they going to do? And as far as the climate and the people's needs and stemming or averting nuclear annihilation, you know, Biden and Trump don't have answers. We need real solutions.
You know, you go back to the 60s in organizing, you know, politics. Have you ever seen an election like this before?
Well, in a way, every election's like this. I remember, you know, everybody had to vote for Johnson because Goldwater was going to start a nuclear war. And then Johnson won and escalated in Vietnam. You know, Nixon and Humphrey, Tricky Dick, he's going to be a, you know, and in fact, going into the 72 election, people were saying what they're saying about Trump, that that'll be the last election. You know, Reagan, you know, Bush 2 in particular, you know, 2004, it was actually, I think, even worse. I can remember marching in a United for Peace and Justice called March in New York. I was marching there with the Nader Cameo contingent. Peter Cameo, the vice president's candidate, was there. And we were heckled by other people saying, what are you doing here? We said, we're here to march against the war. They said, no, this is about supporting Kerry and opposing Bush, which, you know, is what the peace movement did. Even though Kerry wanted to escalate, you know, have a surge bigger than the one Bush eventually got in Iraq. So I was at a march this weekend in New York, climate justice through racial justice, and I thought, wow, we might get heckled there. No, we didn't. You know, particularly the young people were very supportive. In fact, they asked us to march second in the procession back the second march. We marched from Columbus Circle down to a police precinct headquarters and then about 10 blocks and then back up to Columbus Circle. And even the older people that, it was more mostly older people that were saying, well, I got to vote for Biden because Trump is so bad. They weren't heckling. We were having a discussion. You know, it was civil. So that was, you know, it's bad this year, but, you know, I've seen it before. And that's the problem. You know, you have a winner-take-all election system distorted by the Electoral College. And so people think they have this binary choice between Democrats and Republicans. That's the only thing, they, you know, the only choice they have that will make a difference. Of course, the argument is, you know, vote for what you want. Vote for a Green New Deal to address the climate change. Vote for an economic bill of rights to address the problem of poverty and declining life expectancies. And vote for the peace initiatives we're talking about to avert this nuclear war. And the more votes we get, the more that will give us leverage going forward against what's probably going to be a Biden administration. If everybody just lines up for Biden on the progressive side, he's going to say, I got you in my hip pocket. You know, I don't have to pay attention to you at all because you're going to vote for me no matter what I do.
Right. Well, how many more days? We've got like a little over a month, right?
Yeah, it's between 40 and 45 days. It keeps counting down fast. So, yeah, and people are already voting, you know, in many states. So the election is on.
So your media coverage has not been that terrific, right?
Yeah, it's been terrible. I mean, I get more coverage in England, Germany, France. I've got coverage in Morocco. I get a lot more coverage in Latin America than I do in the United States. I mean, that's because there are green parties all over the world in government. The prime minister of Iceland is a green. The Greens are in coalition governments in many European countries. And they're in the legislatures in Asian and Latin American countries and African countries. And here we have a two-party corporate state and some of the most difficult, well, the most difficult ballot access requirements of any electoral democracy in the world. And then we have the two governing parties administering the elections. So they try to exclude their competition from the Green Party. So that's, you know, that's fascinating to the Europeans in particular. They say, you know, what's the problem over there? And you start to explain the electoral system, and they can't believe it. You know, really? You know, that you don't have an independent agency administering your elections? You've got to get thousands of signatures to run for Congress. You know, in the UK, you need 10 signatures to run for the House of Commons as an independent. You know, I was talking with a guy from New Zealand yesterday on a podcast. They need 2 signatures to run as an independent for their parliament. Here you need thousands, tens of thousands in many states. And they're just flabbergasted. So, yeah, so, they're covering me. Not that I'm, you know, a central story, but I'm getting decent coverage. Here, the only time we get covered is when there's a ballot access fight. So it's been, you know, as hard as ballot access is, getting into the mainstream narrative about the issues is an even bigger hurdle.
So we just have about a minute left. Give your contact information in case anybody would like to donate to your campaign or volunteer.
Well, it's howiehawkins.us, and there you'll find how to donate, how to volunteer, a lot more information about our policies. And to your New Yorkers, I would say Biden has been ahead by 25% or more consistently since the spring. So if you're a progressive, your question is, how am I going to vote against Trump? Am I going to vote for Biden, who's a pretty conservative guy? And if you're for Medicare for All and the Green New Deal, he's opposed. So he won't even know. They won't know your vote is for those things. Or you can vote for the Greens, who are for Medicare for All and a Green New Deal and other progressive reforms. So make your vote count. You know, don't get taken for granted. Let them hear your voice.
I'm sure that we will be talking again before Election Day. So you have been listening to Howie Hawkins. Thank you. You've been listening to Howie Hawkins, Green Party candidate for president. This is All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and if you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks, Howie. Have a great day. Thank you, everybody, for listening.